All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman. Today is another fan talk. I'm talking with Bruce Diallo. We're going to be talking about what's going on with the Falcons, how they fix their defense, and much, much more.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for many years at FalcFans.com. You can find me on Twitter at FalcFans. And, of course, I'm the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast. Today is another Fan Talk Friday. I have with me a Falcon fan. We're going to get his thoughts. It is the one and only Ous Diallo. All right, Ous, welcome to the show, my friend. I know you contacted me way back early in the summer to do a fan talk. You're finally here now that it's October. That is typically how it goes on this podcast with these fan talks. But I want to finally welcome you to the show, my friend.
Thank you very much, man. It's a pleasure being here. It's long, long overdue. But I'm definitely glad that I'm on here to talk some Falcons, man. Let's get it in.
All right. So Let's jump right into this thing, and you know, obviously the big issue with the Falcons right now is the fact that their defense is really struggling right now. And I, from what I understand, you have some thoughts on whether or not they can make some potential moves to see if they can fix those struggles.
Man, I got thoughts on it, but whether or not the thoughts is going to come true or whatever. Watching the defense, we're going to have to start from the up front. Now, we try to put Crawford down there. We try to put him next to Grady, even Grady playing bad. Now, he hurt, and we got only Crawford and Sanat. And Sanat playing his thing. Crawford, I haven't really watched him too much, but if I'm not praising you, then you must be doing the opposite. So
okay.
That's what's going on there. And I know how you feel about Vic, and I totally agree. Like, all that energy you put towards Muhammad, put that on Vic right now. Vic needs to step his game up right now. please put that energy on him. He needs to step his game up. And it's been going on for a couple of years now. I've been feeling this way. So now I don't know what we're gonna do to get the energy, to get the play we need out of him. The defensive coach, he been trying to preach and do whatever he can, but I don't know, man. It's not looking too good right now.
Yeah, man. I feel you on that. I'm sort of over Vic. That's basically why I don't necessarily go after Vic. I only go after Sanu because people always feel the need that after he has one of these games like he had against Cincinnati, that they want to jump into my mentions and be like, what do you think about Sanu now? And I'm like, you guys do this after, like, he has four good games a year, and you guys do this all the time after his good games, but y'all don't say nothing for the other 12 games when he only has like two catches or three catches for like 25 yards or whatever. But it is what it is.
Well, that's true. He do be having those games, but I notice when he have those games, everybody have those games.
Yeah.
So if we're not throwing it to Julio and we're not throwing it to Calvin now, I gotta get the ball to my man Mo. And he puts in that work, baby. Leave that man where he is. He is doing his thing right now.
So let's talk about that pass rush. And I think Crawford, you know, he's not a difference maker, but he's doing what, you know, the best he can. And I think he's doing all right as of late, but probably not good enough to where I think this pass rush needs to be. The same thing you can sort of say with Vic. I think he's coming off his best game, so that's a positive. We'll see if that, you know, if he can play at that level on a consistent basis the rest of the season. And if he does, then I think, you know, all things with Vic, he'll be fine. People may still feel some type of way about him not necessarily living up to his draft status or all those sorts of things. But if he plays like he did against Cincinnati every week, then I'm fine with where Vic is.
I mean, I feel like we're going to need a lot more out of him in the run support category, in the pass rush, definitely in the pass rush category. And now we don't got him playing linebacker no more, he's only keeping his hand in the dirt, you got to produce there. Like, we can't just have you. Like, you said something very, very interesting. To have you out there and not putting in no type of production, then now you just become a body out there, Like, it's literally just taking up a roster spot. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. It's tough because I don't know if there's like a move that they can make that's going to fix it. I mean, obviously, I want them to trade for a guy. I don't know who they can trade for. I know I saw today on Pro Football Focus they had, you know, they were proposing a trade for all 32 teams for the Falcons. They had Dante Fowler Jr., the defensive end from Jacksonville, which, you know, I get because he'll help the pass rush and he's arguably an upgrade over Vic Beasley. But the issue with that trade is like, okay, let's imagine a scenario where you trade for Dante Fowler Jr. You're going to have him rushing on the edge. You're going to have Vic rushing on the edge. I guess you kick Tack inside or something like that, which, you know, he got a sack Sunday playing inside. But, you know, I don't necessarily know if that's the spot I want him playing every single snap.
Not every single snap. You could definitely dabble. You could definitely run stunts where it'll leave him in the interior of the line. But to have him to take his best position away and move him to somewhere else, if we get a drop off, we the ones who did that. So that's why I wouldn't want to kick him inside if we're going to go get it. And I would rather go and get somebody somebody to play a role like how Poe played the role last year. Because if you look at the line from this year and last year, you let's point out the differences. Poe's not here. Who else? Well, I can't, but nobody else coming to my mind. But if that's going to be the only change, we got to get somebody, a big old scout guy, like how Sanat wants to play right now. Get them to beef up the run defense. Our secondary is going to get their act together. Pass rush goes with secondary play. So if you improve the pass rush, secondary play will have to improve naturally. And I feel like that's the only route we have left really right now. Defense just got to put it together. We got to start questioning if Marquand's able to call these plays, because now, similarly, when it happened a couple of years ago, Dan Quinn took over the play calling realm. So I don't know if we're gonna have to go that route, but
yeah,
I gotta be done with this defense, man.
Yeah, well, I feel like Marquand's got a built-in excuse, you know, with all the injuries and whatnot. Mm. So I don't feel
that's true. That's true.
And I feel like he's doing, you know, I know other people don't feel this way, but I think he's doing the best he can with what he's got. So, obviously, we need players to step up. I think it's more of an execution issue. You know, that was the thing that people said about Sark last year. It's like, oh, it's not Sark's fault. It's the execution. It's the drop passes, all those sorts of things. I feel like defensively, it really is an execution issue. The missed tackles, like...
I feel like it's a mixture, though. I feel like execution definitely is one of them. Toughness comes in, because when I see some of the drives that teams have against us, there are these long scripted plays. Like, these drives go on for like almost like 15 plays. You'd be like, sheesh. So now you start getting into the things of do they have enough in the tank? Are we overusing them? Do we have a rotation that might suit them better? Like, these are the type of things that start coming to my head when I start watching the Falcons, man. And all I want to think about is points and wins. I don't want to think about how to improve a defense.
Okay. All right. I hear you, man. And speaking of points, let's talk a little bit about this offense. Now, we got more to come with Oos, and I'm very excited to get his further thoughts on the Falcons, but I'm also excited to talk about our newest partner, Lokai. If you haven't heard that name before, now you have. Add a little game day swag now, because Lokai has your back with their new game day bracelet collection. This company is amazing, guys. I've never been a big bracelet guy, but I think Lokai is going to be the company that changes that for me, because they have an amazing message and they support incredible causes. The Lokai bracelet comes in all 32 team colors, including black and red for the Falcons. It holds water from Mount Everest, the highest point on Earth, and mud from the Dead Sea, the lowest point on Earth. It is a daily reminder to keep that balance in your life between the highs and the lows, a reminder that all Falcon fans need now more than ever. This awesome message personally keeps me focused during both the good and bad times in my life, and particularly when it comes to the sport of football, where things aren't always as bad as you think they are, and they're not as good as you think they are, particularly after wins and losses. I think this is a very good message. Since Lokai is a new friend of the show, they are offering an exclusive discount of 25% off all Game Day Collection bracelets. Trust me, guys, this is a great deal that you want to take advantage of. Go ahead and use the promo code Falcons25 when checking out at lokai.com. That's LOKAI.com to use the promo code Falcons25 to get 25% off any Game Day Collection bracelet. You guys got to take advantage of this amazing deal. So, in terms of looking at this offense, what are your thoughts sort of on this turnaround now? We've got three straight weeks of 30 burgers. I think we only had three 30s burgers the entire of last year. And so we've gotten them back to back to back. Do you feel like this is something that the offense can sustain? Or is it, you know, is it the thought process of they're doing way too much work because the defense is slacking? And eventually, you know, it's going to like, you know, it's like they're going to tire themselves out, I guess, if they have to keep putting up 30 points, and seemingly now they have to put up 40 points in order for the Falcons to win.
Might have to put up 50 points next week after that. Defense playing.
Yeah.
But the way I'm feeling good, man. The offense is really giving me life right now. Like, we're looking at Calvin really the way he exploding onto the scene like that. You can't ask for nothing better than that. Like, we needed that production out of the number three receiver, just like how Taylor was giving us the year we ran to the Super Bowl. So now we got him coming and filling that role. My man Mo being sneaky and getting behind coverages and just manhandling corners out there. You see that. And then we got Julio, where Julio's just Julio. He's going to do his thing regardless of the fact. What I like, I'm starting to put two and two together when Matt Ryan spreads the ball out, it's a different Falcons team. When you start seeing the third string tight end catching screens, that's when we're at our best. So when I hear them try to describe our offense and tell us, oh, we need to force the ball to Julio, I disagree personally. I think we play our best when Matt Ryan is spreading the ball around. When you use Julio as a decoy, that's what sets everything up. And I don't see no reason for why shake that formula. Shanahan used it last year. Julio used to finish seasons with like one touchdown and like 10,000 yards. Like, it's a method to the madness, baby. Like, it's a method to the madness. And I think if we keep that route, keep everything going the way it is, there's no slowing us down. We ain't slow down last year. We shouldn't slow down this year. Well, not last year.
I agree. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, man. It's one of those things with Julio where it's like, you're right. I think when they're spreading the ball around, it's, you know, someone called it your pick your poison. The guy had on Tony for the Locked On Steelers guys is pick your poison type of offense because you're all focused on, you don't want Julio to kill you. But meanwhile, while you're putting all your attention on stopping Julio, all these other receivers and playmakers are out there making plays. And then what winds up happening is when push comes to shove, you know, in the 2-minute offense, you know, at the end of the first half or at the end of the fourth quarter, when the Falcons need to move the ball down the field, that's when Julio comes alive and you start seeing Julio get, you know, four catches, you know, Matt Ryan throws like six passes on a drive and Julio catches like four of them for like, you know, 60 yards or something like that. And that's where Julio, you know, shows himself to be the player that we've all come to love over the last, you know, 8 years or whatever. So it when the offense is doing that thing, it really does become an offense that's really hard to stop. And, you know, it's nice to sort of see Sark being able to unlock that because it was so frustrating last year to not be able to do that.
So frustrating. So I had a couple of tears that last year, man. Especially after when the Dolphins. Oh my god! Like, oh, that was bad.
Yeah.
That was bad. Oh man. Yeah, I was just gonna say I agree with you, bro. Like everything you're saying is right on the money, man. You definitely been doing this for a while, Aaron. I'm talking to an expert right now.
I appreciate that. What else? You looking at this upcoming Steelers game, You know, you talk about like scoring 50. Do you feel like this is going to be another shootout and the offense will have to score 40, 50 points in order to beat the Steelers offense?
Most definitely. It's not even a question, but it's definitely a game that we can win. And I'm trying to trace back in my head, have the Falcons ever beat the Steelers, like, ever? I'm not really too sure, but if this is going to be it. There's a lot of similarities between the team. Both of us got a quarterback. Both of us got a receiving core. Now, run game, I feel like we take advantage there. So if we can put everything together and play our game, and how every time you hear the Falcons interview, we just got to focus on us. We got to play our game and execute. If they can manage to do that, we're going to be mopping up a win over the Steelers, and I see that coming.
I'm looking it up to see if the Falcons have ever beat the Steelers. The only time they've done it twice in 2006 and in 1970.
Okay.
But I saw
a thing. 1970.
So they're in Pittsburgh, they're 0-6-1. They tied in 2002. I remember that game because Vic played big balled in that game, in that 2002 tie.
That's my man right there.
Falcons haven't ever won in Pittsburgh. They've never won a game in Pittsburgh. So this is like, you know, if they don't win this week, then this will be a while before they do.
You done said it perfect, but it's definitely prime there for us. The Steelers, they have an offense, but their defense is like, what was it like? Didn't they tie with the Browns this year? Even though the Browns is a different team. Like, I just see it as a win. But, you know, when you cheer for the Falcons, you got to see it as a loss, a possible loss as well. So, as easy as we can win it, I feel like we can go the opposite.
No, but I know what
I'm
you mean.
I'm feeling good about it, man.
I know what you mean. Yeah, man. I think Pittsburgh, obviously Pittsburgh has playmakers. Their offense hasn't sort of lived up to expectations this year. Because they've struggled in both those AFC North games. But you wonder, is that because those teams know Pittsburgh so well? And, you know, the other two games, they dropped, you know, 37 on the Chiefs because the Chiefs can't play defense. They dropped 30 on the Bucks, but, you know, they got a couple of points off of turnovers in that Bucks game. So it really wasn't like the offense was scoring in buckets. So I feel like obviously, you know, I don't think the Falcons' defense is good. But I think if they only have to hold, if the Falcons offense can get 35, I feel like the Falcons defense has the potential, whether they actually live up to that potential, but has the potential to hold the Steelers to under 35 so the Falcons can get one of these games to win. But we'll have to see.
That's spicy talk, and I know it's Falcons beating Steelers. It sounds real crazy, but I'm telling you, if this ever gonna happen again, this is gonna be it right here. Like, they're gonna sit down, put all the energy into it, because having a 1-4 would be 1-4. 1-4 start is not a good look, bro.
Yeah.
So I see them sitting down and putting all the energy into this game and trying to come out with a W. And we always get one during the year that everybody say we wasn't supposed to have. So this might be it.
Yeah, I think so. You know, things are getting crazy when you hear Arthur Blank come out of, you know, wherever and talk to the media. Because, like, he basically stays quiet during the season unless he needs to say something, you know. Like, if the Falcons are doing really good, he'll come out and say, like, I'm really excited what the team is doing. If the Falcons are doing really bad, that's when you hear Arthur Blank talking a whole bunch and being like, yeah, you know, I'm real disappointed. That's when they lay down the law. So I'm hoping that, you know, Arthur Blank was up there, you know, doing his thing. And basically they're like, okay, we got to get this win this week. Cause if Arthur's talking to the media, then, you know, things are not going the way that we want them to.
Arthur just came out of his man cave and started speaking. Yep. That means it's time to turn everything around.
Yeah,
what that means. Definitely.
Yeah. It's crazy, though.
Yeah, that's definitely the truth. But, man, Arthur wouldn't be lying. Arthur tired of seeing what's going on the field as we are. Can't be coming away losing games by 1 or 2 points, coming back the next win, not next week, playing a horrible defense and trying to keep up. Nah, Arthur is telling them the truth, man. We're going to get it together. We do it every year. Start off bad, maybe have a good middle. And hopefully something good happens at the end this time. But we're gonna get together, all of us. Let's do this, baby.
Yeah.
Falcons, rise up, baby. Let's get this.
Oh, man. Well, guys, it's a Fan Friday, and I would be remiss if I do not give my shout-out to the host of Locked on Hawks, Brad Rowland. You guys, if you're getting geared up for the NBA season and you are a Hawks fan, Brad has you covered. Locked on Hawks is one of many NBA podcasts for any NBA team, whichever ones you support. Part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day. You talked about, before we started recording, you already mentioned Sanu, but there's a couple of other players that I talk about on this podcast, have differing opinions on. So I'm curious to hear what your thoughts on some of these players are.
Well, Julio, that's the goal. You throw the ball to Julio and then good things happen. So that's that. My man Mo, that's the man right there, man. You need to take it easy on that guy right there, man. That man been putting in the work when nobody else been trying to do it. So I like Mo. Then we got Calvin. That's the man on the scene right now, the cool kid on campus. He got his little varsity jacket, going to class. He's doing his thing right now. We're going to keep it like that. Now, who I want to say I'm impressed by right now is Austin Hooper. The way he came onto the scene was like, yo, listen, this shit is going to be different. You could tell he stepped his game up. This man is hurdling people. Ain't never do that 2 years ago. That man is over people this year. He's like, let's go. Let's do this. So I'm liking the play out of him. And then you start getting into the backup tight ends and everybody. I see Solberg, he going to step his game up. I see it coming. He's going to turn into one of those receiving slash tight end on the end of the thing where we going to start getting the production out of him that he showed potential for in college. He was putting in that work in college. So he gonna step his game up. Everybody around the O line, I feel like that's where is gonna be the key to the game. Last week, the way they was putting Ryan on the floor, This year we gotta get him comfortable in the pocket. If Ryan's sitting there, he's dotting them up. It's gonna be a good game, man. It's gonna be a good game, man. We just got to cross our fingers and hope it stays like that, man. Now, is this the game Freeman coming back, or is that's another game?
No, he's coming back this week.
This week, right?
Yeah.
So, hopefully with that addition to coming out the backfield, like, come on. We got to think about it. Even though this offense been high powered, they've been missing that piece. And he's good for at least a touchdown a game. So, imagine we had that factored in, my man Free gonna hold it down. We gonna get it in, man. And then it might mess around and still be continuation of the quote unquote fall of Ito. Like, you never know. They might sprinkle that man in there too.
Yeah.
So yeah, man. I'm feeling good about the offense. O-line just gotta step their game up, move off the ball, fire off the ball, fire low and hard. And we're gonna get where we gotta get to, man.
Yeah.
I got faith.
Now, I understand you're not a huge fan of Devondre Campbell.
Nah. There's a couple of games where it'd be games where I see him play and then it's just like I'm not seeing him set the edge sometimes. Like, and it's particularly every time when I look at him. So I don't know what's going on. Like, Duke got an excuse. This is his freshman year. He still got a couple of games before he can shake everything together. He's getting better. So we just gonna have to cross our fingers and hope that an improvement on him from week to week is drastic enough to make a difference. But Campbell, that man he's supposed to be taking over the leadership role right now. Neal is out. Rico is out. Come on, Campbell, you got to step it up. Debo out. Come on. This is. I feel like would have been his time to really show that he can be the man. But right now, you know what I mean? Come on. I need him to step up, baby.
I've been...
He can do it. He got the ability.
Yeah. I've been, people give me some grief over the last year because I seem to hate on Campbell a little bit too much. But it's one of those...
You've been saying it, right?
it's one of those things, because I'm watching the tape of the Cincinnati game. I'm like, you're right. It's like, there's times when he's supposed to set the edge. He doesn't set the edge. And it's like, oh, come on, dude. Like, you know, it's frustrating. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I try not to let like a couple of bad plays, you know, be like, oh, he's the worst or whatever. But it is one of those things where it's just like, come on, like the simple stuff he doesn't do sometimes. And it's real frustrating when it's just like, man. You know, that guy's coming at you. Attack that block. Don't just stand there and wait for him to take you out. And
get
then,
your hands,
you know,
fire your hands out. Let's
yeah,
go.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the run, him in run defense is very frustrating. I think he's done a really good job this year in coverage. So I'm not complaining as much, especially given that, you know, missing Neil, you know, as that sort of tight end lockdown guy, you know.
And, yeah.
When he's been covering the tight ends, those guys really haven't been a big factor. It's really been when the tight end is going up against somebody else where you see those tight ends making plays. So kudos to Campbell for, I think he stepped up his game in coverage. But, you know, sometimes against the run, it's still like, come on, dude. Like, you're better than this.
Yeah, man. Definitely, man. It's starting to become a toughness thing now. Like, is you mentally tough enough? Because football is a different sport, man. You got to be mentally unhinged. And I got to see them out there playing like that. Like, we got to play with that urgency, that swarm, that reckless abandonment. Like, I got to see something out of somebody, man. If Campbell not going to be the one on the field stepping up, it got to be somebody else, man. Like, somebody on that field needs to step up, man. This week, not next week.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's the thing. Like, with this defense, man, it's like you look at them and they're struggling, obviously. But it's like, particularly when it's guys like the cornerbacks that are struggling. When it's like, I know you guys are better than this. Like Campbell, you know, I wouldn't say he's struggling, but he's probably not playing as well as you would want him to. And it's like, yeah, I know you're capable of this. And it's those guys that you know are good. And I think that's one of the reasons why people are going after Vic Beasley so much, is like, you want to believe that these guys are good. You want to believe that these guys are top talents. And when they play poorly, then, you know, the Duke Rileys, you know, the DeMonte Caseys, those guys are going to have ups and downs. But you need your best players to play well. And the problem is, obviously, Jones and Neil and Allen and Grady Jarrett are four of the, you know, their top five or six best players. And those were four guys that are probably the most consistent players that they have on the entire defense. And now you're looking for that consistency from somebody else, and you're not getting it from Alford. You're not getting it from Trufant. You're not getting it from Poole. And then it's like, are we really now down to Duke Riley is going to have to be the rock for our defense? Because if that's the case, we're in big trouble, you know?
Definitely true statement. I don't want to see Duke thinking about anything. That man needs to just sit there and play football. Like, give him an assignment and tell him do it. No robot movement, no none of that. I need him flying. Like, so that's why it makes me double upset, because now Campbell, this is prime time for Campbell to come up, put his hands in the dirt, get a couple of tackles, and really show that, listen, without these guys, we still the brother. It's still the brotherhood. Like, so I need him to show me something, man. Him and Vic, but Vic, I don't try to ask too much from Vic no more. I gave that up a long time ago.
I'm the same way, man. I'm just like, okay. Like, it's been, you know, it's been too long. You know, it was like, 25 games before we saw.
Like 5 years now. For real, think about it. It might be 5 years. Like, did they pick up the option on him? God damn! I ain't never have a job for 5 years. Like, you got to get good at it by now, baby.
All right, man. Oos, is there anything else that you want to talk about before we duck out of here?
Man, I'm just real, real happy to be on the show. It's been a long time overdue. I'm hyped, and I definitely appreciate you giving me a call, man.
All right, no problem, man. Is there any social media accounts that people want to talk with you about Falcons and whatnot that they can get at you?
Well, I got my Facebook, Oos Diallo. You can hit me up on there, and I definitely will shoot the breeze about some Falcons. That's about it, man.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, man, and I look forward to maybe doing this a little later in the season, hopefully when things get a little bit better on the defensive side of the ball, maybe after Deion Jones comes back.
Man, I definitely would definitely love that. And I'm definitely going to have a whole lot to say about my man Deebo coming back, man. Need that man right. That's the anchor.
Absolutely. All right, my friend. Appreciate it. And we'll be talking later, man.
All right, man. Take care, man.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right, bro. No problem. Take care, man. You have a good day, too.
All right. Another fan talk of the books, guys. If you're wondering how I can do this, I can jump on this show for 30 minutes and talk to Aaron about the Falcons. Of course you can. All you have to do is send an email, lockedonfalcons@mail.com. Give me your contact information. If you have a Skype account, give me that, since that's easier on me. But if it's just a phone number where I can reach you, and, you know, you cell phone, landline, whatever, just make sure you charge. You got enough juice in your cell phone to have a 30-minute conversation. And, yeah, give me that information in the email. Give me some availability. You know, are you available in the afternoons, the evenings, days of the week, whatnot? Typically, we record these during the middle of the week. So if you have that availability, that's ideal. But, you know, I can be flexible and whatnot and work around people's schedule. And, yeah, there you have it. If you have other things, suggestions, things that you want to say about the show, provide your feedback in a lot of ways. You can do so on Twitter. I'm at FalcFans. Locked On Falcons is the show's Twitter handle. If it's podcast related, it's just easier to send it to that. Facebook, you can also check us out. Locked On Falcons. Give us a like while you're there. And you can also leave a comment at FalcFans.com, where the show is posted daily. So, again, I appreciate Ooze for coming on, and I look forward to future fan talks. We'll be back Monday with the rapid reaction about the Steelers game. Hopefully, it's a rapid reaction to the Week 5 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers as opposed to the Week 5 loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. But we'll see how it goes. I think the Falcons, I'm feeling better about this game, but I'm not feeling good about this game. You know what I'm saying? Like, the old thing is, like, usually early in the week, I'm a little more pessimistic. Then as the week goes on, I get a little bit more optimistic. I've been reasonably optimistic all week long. So, I don't know. I feel like if the Falcons lose this game, I don't know what to say. Like, cause all of these games are winnable basically. And you can't keep losing these winnable games and think eventually it's going to be hard for the Falcons to sort of dig themselves out of this hole. Arguably they're already too deep in this hole at 1-3, 1-4 is going to be hard to climb out of that hole. Certainly as far as the playoff goes, but you know, at this point I'm just shooting for 500, to be honest with you. That's what I'm shooting. 8-8 would be a happy finish to this season for me. So hopefully that starts now. And we'll have to see. Until then.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.